Our guest today is Terry Crowe, and Terry is currently the engineering manager for a Fortune 500 company. In his 20-year career, he's had experiences with companies such as Pepsi, Dean Foods, Kroger, and Borden's. He has a degree in industrial technology and brings a vast amount of knowledge in the area of progressive management, strategic visioning, and predictive technologies for manufacturing operations. Terry, it's an absolute pleasure to have you visit with us today.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
Mm-hmm. Terry, I know that you've certainly worked for a number of formidable companies in your career to this point, and what I'd like to do is just kind of have you share a little bit with our listeners today, maybe some of the key areas that you feel have made you successful in your career, and then we can kind of do some follow-up questions from there, if that works for you.
That's fine. I think one of the number one things that I've tried to do throughout my career has been to lead by example. I think one of the things is to respect the individual and their personalities, and everybody's an individual, and therefore everybody brings something to the table, and you just have to kind of ferret out the positive things and work on the other aspects of that individual. Probably the biggest thing is to lead by example and let them know that you're fully capable of running the business at hand.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, I've certainly interviewed through the years of recruiting, interviewed a number of individuals that have been successful, and one of the components that they always, or it always seems to come to the surface, is how they know their people. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. If you know the individual on the team you're working with, it becomes easier to do the day-to-day operations.
Mm-hmm. Good. You certainly have an impressive background, no doubt about that. But, so probably one of the questions we would ask is, what got you excited about directional motivation, the kind of the cause that we're about, and the heart and the passion that we have, but what gets you excited about directional motivation?
Well, first, I believe it's a very simple format to follow. It's easy to understand the content, and it's an all-in-one source for gathering information that you may need to become successful in your career.
Yeah, and that's really what the goal was. When we sat down and said, okay, how can we make a difference for people? And so we started soliciting individuals from all segments of industry and said, all right, so what do you think people need to have? And, one of the things that we're doing here today is just one more service that we provide is being able to listen kind of from the horse's mouth, industry professionals, what's important to them, what's helped them. And we're going to talk in much more detail about how individuals can take and grow their career and things like that. I'm sure that the listeners are kind of curious. What makes you or excited about being an engineering manager for a Fortune 500 company?
Well, I believe one of the key factors is that I get the support and the resources to be able to do my job well. And there's always the personal aspects of the business. I work for a lot of great bosses, and they're always there to support me. One of the things I think with the company I work for is the fact that they're heavily involved in reliability and continuous improvement programs, which is the wave of the future.
Mm-hmm. So you talk about continuous improvement. There's certainly... It isn't limited to just maintenance and engineering, for instance. Maybe for our listeners, explain a little bit about continuous improvement. What does that mean?
Well, continuous improvement has many factors, but probably the main factor is it's like anything else. You can't start something and then just expect it to follow its own path. So continuous improvement is always finding more or less the best way to do something and improving upon that process. So when they talk about continuous improvement, it's you start with an idea and your teams develop that idea and continue to try to improve upon the idea and make things work a little better each time you institute some sort of program or idea into the system. So the biggest thing is to make sure that ideas are fresh and there's a continuous input and feedback system of the process.
So how do you do that?
The biggest thing is to schedule meetings and obviously in the agenda have what you're working on and make sure that the teams are completely focused on the process itself. Identification of the areas for improvement, and then as you go along to continue the process with the teams so that the input is there from everybody and that the ideas are formed and continue along the path that you have set up for it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking to an individual the other day, and he said, you know, one of the things with our continuous improvement effort, we're such believers that everybody has input that he says, I sit down if the janitor says, hey, can I talk to you for a second? He said, I sit down and I listen to the janitor because, you know, when he's cleaning around the equipment or whatever the case may be, it's incredible what they notice. And he was talking about with different set of eyes, things like that. Is that kind of the way you guys approach it too?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Good. I know we touched a little bit on this, and it probably, you know, factors in the same way, but I mentioned in the introduction of you with the progressive management side, the strategic visioning, predictive technologies, that type of thing. And this is going to be kind of foreign language probably for our listeners here a little bit, but can you touch on these for a moment?
Sure. As far as progressive technologies, again, going back to the reliability, sustainability, and what they call asset management, and that's with today's economy, it's important for companies and individuals to realize that when you invest heavily in equipment and assets, it's important for you to maintain that equipment so that over the course of its life, you continue to realize the benefits of that equipment, and you're not spending every 5 years on a new piece of equipment. Most people nowadays do not buy equipment just because it's the latest fad. Most people probably go with the fact that they want to go with the most reliable piece of equipment and that the lifespan goes quite a long period of time. I think the biggest example of that would be the old fabric mills in the New England areas where some of this equipment is running 100 years plus, and it's the fact that even back then they realized that in order for that equipment to last, they had to do preventive and predictive maintenance on that equipment. So I think mm-hmm. the biggest thing is, equipment longevity, and that can be achieved through reliability and sustainability of the equipment.
Sure. How about the strategic visioning side? I know that that seems to be a really a hot topic as well in today's manufacturing environments. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, I think, just the word strategic indicates that it really boils down to what kind of plan, what kind of formal plan do you have to achieve success. And with anything else, the plan involves many people, it involves teams of people, and it involves going from point A to point B, and what how long of a gap is that between those two points, and what do you have to do to achieve that goal. So the word strategic is, coming from strategy. What's the plan? What's your basic plan, and how are you going to get there?
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine associated with that would be market positioning and things like that. I know that you, in your environment, just recently introduced a new product, and I'm sure the strategic visioning went into that product in terms of manufacturing for a client, that type of thing, and partnering in that type of effort.
Correct. When we approach any project nowadays, what we do is we look at all sorts of aspects, and we look at the marketing end of it, we look at the sustainability of the product itself, we look at what's the most economical way to produce the end product, and again, then you go back to what's the equipment longevity, And we look at all those aspects and then come up with, obviously, return on investment, too. So all those factor into that type of process.
Sure. And then let's talk a little bit about progressive management a little bit. And again, I'll maybe bring in some acronyms that are familiar with some individuals out there in our audience and some are not. You know, that would be Six Sigma, Kaizen, Kanban, different methodologies in a progressive management. Can you break those down just a little bit? And we don't have to go into a lot of detail, but to kind of give an overview that way.
Well, let's start with Six Sigma. Basically, the elements involved in that, obviously started from Japanese culture, and it's been successful in the past in that culture and bringing it over to our side of the pond. The biggest thing is, again, you know, there's sustainability, there's sorting, things like that. And the biggest thing is, you know, I think when people get their different degrees of belting for the Six Sigma, that's probably secondary to the fact that they need to understand the whole process. And the whole process comes together to form one cohesive idea, and that is longevity of the equipment, the idea that people understand what their role is in producing a good product, producing it at a good cost, and then also the sustainability of the process itself to maintain and build for the future.
Sure. When you're talking about belts, we're talking, for our listeners here a little bit, in Six Sigma you have various levels of belts in accordance with the level of expertise. And so you start with the various levels. They can be yellow, they can be brown, they can be black belt being the high at that level. Am I correct in that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's similar to, obviously, karate, but I've seen the different levels with individuals, and when you reach the middle point, you're fairly well-rounded on the ability to continue this process. And also, there's a mentoring process there, too, that, you know, most individuals don't keep it to themselves. The idea is to pass on that knowledge down through the ranks, even though they may not be achieving any sort of belt status. They do need to understand what the process is. Once you understand the process, you can follow the direction. If you don't understand the process, it's very foreign to you at that point.
Sure. I think we're going to break here a little bit, and the next segment we'll be dealing with some of for people coming into the industry or maybe looking at making a change in their career, and the things that maybe you look for as an employer, maybe the things that some of the employers you've been with that stand out to you that in terms of characteristics, skill sets, trends that are taking place within industry, things like that, that the people looking to make a change or entering into the marketplace would want to know. But we're going to have the next segment is going to be for our Maximum Motivation members group, and we'll address that. I think it's going to be really an interesting session, so we'll be back with that.